Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. We're on part 62 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 164. You can receive it by tape or CD. I'll tell you how at the end of the service. There'll be four different ways how to receive it. And we have several letters here to read, and some scriptures, and possibly something from the book, The Secret Terrorists. Because the Lord has told me that the way to bind the devil on this earth is to expose him. The devil is hassling you. The wrong thing to do is to keep it a secret. Tell me, and I'll expose him if it's really the devil doing this to you. I'll be happy to do it. I'm not afraid. The Bible tells us, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. A lot of people don't deny themselves. They don't want to report Satan because they're so fearful of people persecuting them. And to take up the cross, it's a real cross to most people think to expose Satan. They just don't want to do that. And you never, even in the church, you rarely will see anybody that exposes people that are satanic in the church because they're afraid they'll be persecuted. They're among the fearful and unbelieving that will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Don't be afraid, because you better be more afraid of not doing what the Lord says. The very first thing that you must do is deny yourself. It's a very selfless thing to do. Peter, when the Lord was was telling them what he must suffer on the cross, that he must die, Peter said, "Far be it from you, Lord." And what it literally means is that pamper yourself. Don't do let anything like this happen to yourself. Self. Self. People are so worried about self that they never become selfless, denying themselves and taking up the cross. Now, this is Jesus talking now. Why in the world would the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who comes to this world in the flesh, ask his people to take the method of execution that Jesus was telling Peter that he was going to have to suffer, and the scripture said he would have to suffer as the most cruel death that you could ever have, and that is to hang on a cross for hours and being crucified. It pulls all of your muscles out. It like rips at your flesh when you're hanging there. Why would then this God that had to die this horrible death command his disciples that they have to die the same death? They have to take up their cross. In other words, they have to say, to hell with Satan, and I'm going to expose him. But how many people do that? How many people will bind Satan on earth? How many people will expose Satan in themselves? How many people that have deep, dark secrets that Satan is luring inside of them and wasting them by the minute? How many people will deny themselves and expose Satan in themselves, in the church, in their families, in the world, in their communities? Not very many. So people that don't keep that first, that's the first thing that the Lord tells you to do, is die the death. Deny your self, like I denied myself even to the death, and take up your cross. That means to expose Satan. Keep all the commandments that I tell you to keep. That means bind the devil here on earth. Expose him. But people are even afraid of people in the church. Church mice. Demons lurking around in the church. Doing all sorts of evil things in the churches. And evil things in the community. Evil things in your hometown. Evil things in the United States. Evil things in the world. And they do not deny themselves. And they will not keep the commandment to take up the cross, and don't care what happens to yourself, but expose Satan so that it binds him here on earth so that the Lord can destroy him in the kingdom of heaven. Because if you let the devil loose on this earth, the Lord in the kingdom of heaven is going to loose him as well. He's just going to let him run rampant on the earth. You say, well, I just can't understand how God doesn't stop all these people and how he lets them get by with all this stuff. You're the one that's letting him get by, because it's a promise of the Lord that whatsoever you bind on this earth, that is exposed on this earth of Satan, he'll also bind it and expose it from the kingdom of heaven so that it doesn't bother you anymore. If you can't keep, if any man will be the Lord's disciple, these are the first two things he asks you to do, and if you don't do them, you're not his disciple. That's just how plain it is. And this is my Easter message. This is Easter Sunday, 2006. And the Lord went to the cross and he resurrected from there, so it wouldn't make any difference if anything did help into your precious self. God, if you do these things, will resurrect you from the dead and send you into heaven. But if you don't, you're for sure going to spend eternity in hell. And those are just the two first commandments that the Lord tells you to do. I've got a person sitting right in this room that has never denied themselves or taken up the cross, crucified themselves, stop from doing the things that the Lord tells you not to do to this very date, and they've been here for years. And this is the very same thing that's going on in most churches in this world. Now, a pastor that will expose Satan fearlessly, exposing him knowing, most people would say, well, you know that the devil's going to kill you. You know that you're going to get killed. Well, I'd rather get killed by the devil and enter the kingdom of heaven than I would to be killed by God and slung into the pit of hell for disobeying him. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Wouldn't you? Huh?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You would, huh? Okay, well, are you going to take up the cross and deny yourself and take up the cross and follow the Lord?
Yes.
And expose yourself and expose the devil? Yeah, in the church and in the house hold and in the community and in the world. If you call the whole world to order, then you better be in order yourself, amen? You better not be worrying about your flesh. A lot of people say, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I commit adultery and fornication and I commit all kinds of sin and I lust and I do all these things, so I just feel like such a hypocrite if I expose the devil. Well, because you've never denied yourself. You're indulging of the things of this world that the Lord tells you not to indulge in. And you've never gone to the cross like Jesus did. Now, it's all right for God to go to the cross in the flesh, but you're far superior to God, I suppose. And it's far beyond you to deny your stinky, self-centered flesh and go to the cross. People say, well, it's such a cross to expose people. I mean, aren't you supposed to say nice things about people? Like Jesus, who said, you hypocrites, you liars, you serpents, you snakes. No, you wouldn't be like Jesus, would you? You're far superior to Jesus, aren't you? No, you're not. According to the Lord, if you don't keep his commandments, you're a dog. And a dog that's gone back to his vomit. And also a sow that's gone back to its wallow in the mire. If you're truly resurrected from the dead, if your spirit is resurrected, and you can understand the words I'm saying, then you have to make a decision with yourself to take up the cross, to deny yourself of concern about your self, or down south where they say yourself. And take up the cross. And whether you feel that you're going to be killed or not, you expose Satan, because the Lord says you won't be killed, that you'll live forevermore. People that are true Christians never die. The body may be dissolved. It may die, but the soul, the spirit, the soul goes on, and the body is transformed to an ecclesiastical body, and you just step into eternity. You won't miss your body any more than you'd pick a scab off your nose and throw it away, or if you blew your nose and threw the hanky inside the garbage, I don't think you'd, or the Kleenex, you wouldn't miss it, would you? I know I've never missed anything like that. If I had a scab on my knee or something, I'd just peel it off and throw it away, and I never mourned over it because it's just made out of the dirt of the ground. But you're so worried about your precious flesh, your precious self, and you want to have friends, and you feel that you're going to be isolated. And a lot of people have isolated themselves from me. They're even afraid to tithe. That's how fearful they are, because they fear somebody will trace that I sent him money, and they're going to kill me just like they will him. You better deny yourself. You better take up the cross and not be concerned, because the cross is something that hurts. The cross is something that pierces you. It's the most horrible death that could ever be imagined here on this side of eternity. The Romans are the most cruel people on the face of this earth. The Roman Empire existed at one time, and now it's come back even stronger. It's a worldwide power, and they do kill people. They do murder them, and I'm fully aware of this. So, but the Lord says, for you not to fear him who can take your life. That's all Satan could possibly do if you just were so fearful. But the Lord says, rather fear him that can take your life and sling your soul into hell. That's God. So if you break his commandments, he's going to kill you all right. He's going to send down one of these plagues on you, and your soul is going to be slung into hell. So you think you're pretty hot stuff. Somebody told you that you were cute. Maybe your mother or your husband or maybe one of your friends. You're so cute. And then you got to thinking that you're so cute that you don't want your flesh. You don't want anyone to touch it, or even a pin to put a little dot on your precious self, let alone being nailed to a cross or burned in an oven or thrown into prison. You just couldn't tolerate that. But remember, it's like you don't believe what the Lord says. If you expose Satan, that won't happen to you, that he will bind. If you expose him here on earth, he'll expose him from heaven, and it's rendered helpless, just like a jewelry store thief that when the lights are thrown on, they hit across a wire and the burglar alarm goes on, the lights are flashed on, and the cops hear this alarm in the police station or the sheriff's station, and they come and the sirens are roaring. That burglar is helpless, amen? Because you bound him, you set up alarms for him, traps for him. Well, the way you make traps for the people that are in church that are attempting to raise hell in church, and you just let them go, why, you're the worst, you're as bad as the devil, according to the Lord. You have to deny yourself. You have to go to the cross and expose people, whether you get harmed or not, or whether you think you will. You have to have faith in the Lord that he will protect you if you expose Satan. There's not many people that do, and God's going to give you a special place in his heart. He's going to keep you in the palm of his nail-pierced hands if you blow the whistle on Satan. But if you don't, you're in trouble with the Lord, and remember that. All right, now we have some letters, and right now I'd like you to go up to the throne with me out there in Radio Land and ask the Lord to give you courage, so that you don't have to go to the lake of fire for being fearful and unbelieving. And this way, you know, the Lord, they put him to death because he came here to die, and then he wanted to die. It was this, for this reason he came in, God sent him into the world. But God died with him on the cross in that body. but God didn't die throughout the entire universe. But God proved that his word is true, and he raised him up from the dead. And behold, he's alive forevermore now. So, Father, we ask that you pour out courage in the hearts of those to keep the first two commandments that you give them, and that is to deny themselves, to be concerned about themselves, to be more concerned about themselves than they are about devils in the church, destroying the church, running amok in the church, rather than report. And so they have to go to the cross. They have to report whether they think somebody's going to do something to them for reporting things or not, for you keeping the commandment of the Lord. They have to trust that if they report something that's very evil in my church, they know that the person is going to be put out on the streets with the rest of the demons out there and the people that need to be saved because they need their flesh crucified. I ask, Lord, and all of us ask, because we're all at your throne now, that you pour out your spirit and that you do the talking on this broadcast and that there be nothing said that would be offensive to people of the Lord. And there'll be nothing said in this service that would offend you, Lord. I'm not worried about offending the devil. As a matter of fact, I believe I'm here to offend him. Preaching the gospel offends Satan. Reporting Satan offend Satan, but it doesn't offend you. You love people that keep your commandments. So I ask, and then you protect those that keep your commandments that are not afraid of the devil, but they're afraid of you. Because our whole duty is to fear you and keep your commandments, but to never fear Satan. Because Satan is a defeated foe. So, Lord, save souls, edify the church. You do the talking, Lord, the preaching, the teaching, the edifying on this tape. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. We've already got a pretty good message going today anyway, right?
Amen.
This is the Easter message. The Lord has risen, and you should have courage and be thankful to the Lord because he proved to us that he was God. And he went the whole route for us. He went the whole route. He wasn't afraid if his flesh would be crucified or that he'd die because he knew that his Father, that he would raise himself up. He was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He knew that he was God, and he knew that there's nothing that could harm him. And they had a lot of fun murdering the Lord, but the Lord had a lot of fun now at the judgment bar of God, sending their souls into a bottomless pit, into the lake of fire, where they're never going to have anything but torment. It would be much better that they had never been born than to have done what they did. The ones that got saved, the Lord will forgive them, that's for sure. But if you continue on in your wicked ways and continue being fearful and unbelieving, and continue not taking up the cross and denying yourself and reporting Satan, woe unto you. Woe unto you. All right, where's the first letter from?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Tony Lomo, I greet you in the name of our soon coming Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is written, Jesus said, which one of you whose neighbor will come to your door at night and ask for a drink, and you will tell him, go away, it is late? I was touched today when I got your mail. This good was given at a proper time. It is highly appreciated. I want to thank you and the ministry. Thanks very, very much for the $50 you sent to us. At the time this money came, two of the kids were seriously ill with typhoid, which is the major illness here on camp that takes your life away within a day or two when not treated. I appreciate the money sent to us so much. May God bless you and the ministry. As your people have favored us, may God send someone from nowhere to favor your ministry also. I will appreciate it if you can send us the Bibles and other books. I can also be a distributor here to help thousands of people with those books. As many as you can send us, we can share with other people, CDs, cassettes, books, and Bibles. You can make the Bibles 18 copies, and the books as much as you can send here. The refugees here are about 39 million, so as much copies will be appreciated. I will appreciate if your ministry can come and host a crusade here on the camp to win many, many souls for Christ. I want to take this time to say thanks again. I did receive the money, and I was able to pay for the treatment for those two children that were down with typhoid. Thanks be to God for His favor being upon us. We hope you will continue to remember us. Little is much when God is in it. Bye for now. My thanks and appreciations, Solomon from Accra, Ghana.
Right, they say that those two children that were treated, they would have been dead in 2 days. But I didn't know whether they were really, I just kept praying. There were so many requests for money. I just sent them all 50, 50, 50. None of them, even if I thought they were not sincere, I would send them $25 all. Some of them I sent $2,000 to, some $3,000, some $1,500, and so on, because I know the Lord will send it back a hundredfold. And they told me that these two children would have died in 2 days, but they're alive now and doing very well. They're cured now.
Amen.
And so I instructed you to send them another $200. And did you tell them to send it? Okay, they'll send it. This is Sunday, Easter Sunday, and they'll send it in the morning. And I just am happy, so happy. And if they need more, you know, like whatever they need, we have to send it to them. All right? We have to, because the Lord said on the judgment day, He's going to say, inasmuch as you did it for the least of mine, my people, the ones I created, you did it also unto me. And so, and the ones that wouldn't send the finances, inasmuch as you didn't do it for the least of mine, you didn't do it for me, and therefore you have to go into the lake of fire. Okay, where's the next letter from? Think about that. You know, you people tithe unto the work of the Lord. You know this is the work of the Lord. Nobody's going to trace it down. Just leave your name anonymous. The Lord will see it. Okay, I know you're afraid to send finances to me. So you send it to works that are saying demonic things. So you're helping the work of Satan. And you're not doing what you're supposed to when you see that we're doing the work. If you don't want to send it to us, we'll give you the address and you can send it to those people. I don't want your money, but the Lord wants you to tithe, or else He'll curse you because you're robbing God of helping these kids and these adults that are dying. I've never even heard of that disease before. I've heard of typhoid. What do they call it?
It says T-A-I-F-O-R.
Typhoid, so I've never heard of that, but it's a killer. There are hundreds of diseases now that you people don't know about, and I don't either. And but the Lord said He was going to send them to curse people. And He's sending them to prove the people of the Lord, to see if we'll help out to give to the poor and the needy. And if you don't, you know, I know you people, you think that, you know, we're getting a whole bunch of money and everything. When the money comes in, we don't hold it. We don't hold money in bank accounts or anything, trust funds. We send out many dollars for people that are the needy people. And a lot of people, there have been people that have written in that we know are not real. We've been told by people in other ministries that they're getting money from them too, and they're getting money from other people. But there are people like this that we know are true. We're sending missionaries over there to check all these people out. And I've instructed them, if they have hundreds of people in there, they see them dying, to give them $20,000 or whatever's necessary, and we'll station people there to make sure that the people get all the medicine. Or we'll pray for them, and I believe that the Lord will heal them. But if not, if they don't have the faith to receive that which the Lord has already provided for them, what we'll do is we'll just get the medicine for them, all right? To show them that we're Christians, and we'll get the food for them, and the clothing, and the bedding, and all whatever they need. Okay, then what? Where's the next letter from?
From Quezon City, Philippines.
Okay.
To Evangelist Tony Lamo, greetings in Christ. I have been a regular listener of your radio program, Tony Alamo Ministries, since it started airing this year at DWSS Radio Philippines. As I continue to listen to the message, the Lord spoke to me in a silent voice that I have a burden and I need to come to Him. At that moment, my life was changed, and I asked Jesus to come into my life. I thank God for that kind of program which leads many to Christ. Since the time that I have accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, I always read the Holy Bible. I am interested in knowing more about your Christian ministry because I want to know more about Jesus. May the good Lord bless you mightily as you take His word to the ends of the earth through the media ministry. Signed, Ismail from Quezon City, Philippines.
Okay, well, the thing to do now is send a Messiah book in the Filipino language or in English, whatever. If he writes in English, send it in English and in the Philippine language. And then also send him the literature, the Messiah book, Bibles, whatever he needs, and tapes. All right? And hopefully they've already sent that out. They know that's what I told them to do, so they should have done it by now. Okay, then what?
The next letter is from Enugu, Nigeria. Dear sir, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since I read your printed material, The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, which is so unique, I saw your invitation to those who are willing to serve the Lord with all their mind, soul, heart, and strength. In that booklet, I saw how you unfolded the mysteries about Christ through the Holy Scriptures as the true Messiah and the only Savior of the world. Also, in another literature you titled Judgment for Judges, I equally discovered the wisdom of God in you in teaching the Word of God. Then I admired your person in the Lord and was convinced in you. Upon this note, I began to desire and to seek for the establishment of your church division in my country, Nigeria, and to have your recorded messages televised on television and to be played on a radio station in Nigeria. I am believing God so much that through your dynamic messages, many perishing souls shall be saved. Please, sir, I also need a large supply of your literature, Judgment for Judges, that we may start reaching the people with them in Nigeria and to create awareness, too. Also, I would like you to tell me how you will make this possible to bring your church, the Alamo Christian Church, into my country, Nigeria, that we may be beneficiaries, too.
Okay, well, just stop right there. You are a church. The Bible says that, don't you know not that you're the temple of the living God, the church, the temple of God, and all of us together are temples of the Lord, but we become one spirit, one church, one body of Christ. And so you just need literature. I'll send you literature, Messiah books, tapes, Bibles, whatever you need. Just become a distributor and then start holding meetings in your house or wherever you can, and let the Lord do the rest of the blessing. We have several people in Nigeria that are doing that, and all throughout Africa, India, in the Philippines, and around 200 countries in the world. And it's like impossible for me to be everywhere, but it's not impossible for the Lord to be everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
And don't forget, you know, the thing that the Lord wants to say people to do is to contain Him. God wants to be contained in you. He wants you to be His container. He made us in His likeness and image, and that's why He likes to live in us as containers. And don't forget the message of, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. That you have to, even though if you're afraid to testify against somebody that's, you can see doing evil or wrecking the church, you have to do that, and you can't forget that. That's something that you have to do every day, and that's something I do every single day. I expose Satan, and then I pray, God, I did what you told me to do to bind him on earth, and now, Lord, bind him in heaven. I do not want Satan to be loosed in one form, fashion, at all. And so anytime I see him, I expose him. And the only way that he's ever going to stop doing, or he just goes away, he flees. So don't forget that, all right? And then just start opening a church. And if you want to come here, it's all right with me. You know, we'll help you out as much as we can here. And we do have living facilities for those that really want to serve the Lord and keep the commandments and keep the rules here at our church. We have churches here in 4 different places. We have distributors all over the nation and all over the world. And there are churches that we have all over the world as well. We have a church in Fort Smith, Arkansas, one near Texarkana, Arkansas. We've got one in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and one here in Los Angeles at 1313 Sierra Highway, Canyon Country, California. And we've been there, we've been there for 37 years. And I've been in the ministry for 41 years. The first part of our ministry we spent in the West Hollywood and also Hollywood and West Hollywood area. All right, well, let's finish that letter.
He just signs, "Yours faithfully in Christ, Pastor Abraham from Nigeria, Africa."
All right, praise the Lord. Now, let's continue a little bit here. You give me a 15-minute signal, okay, that's when the tape snaps, right? Okay, so do you know where you left off over here in this book? Is this it? Okay, the name of this book, we're talking about World War II, is The Secret Terrorists. And the secret terrorists are no secret to me. I know who they are, and that's why I'm exposing them. All right, now go ahead and find out where, start off where we left off.
The whole Vatican-Hitler bargain had been conducted in secret before Hitler became Chancellor of Germany in January 1933. In June of the same year, Hitler and the Vatican signed a concordat under terms of which the Church swore allegiance to the Nazi regime.
So the Vatican has always been behind the Nazis and the killing of the millions of Jews and Gypsies. Now, Gypsies are nothing more than the lost tribe of Israel. They're Romanian Jews. That's what I am. I'm a Gypsy Jew, part Italian. Okay, Rome came in and invaded this country, and they started calling it Romania. And these Roman soldiers started marrying up with the people there, the women, and out popped Tony Alamo. Actually, it was Bernie Lazar Hoffman, and I changed my name to Tony Lama when I became a singer in the entertainment industry years ago. Now then, okay, go ahead.
Hitler and the Vatican signed a concordat under terms of which the Church swore allegiance to the Nazi regime. Soon afterward, Catholic Franz von Papen, the second in command to Hitler, put the essence of the Hitler-Vatican alliance very succinctly into these words, quote, "The Third Reich," he said, "is the first power which not only recognizes but puts into practice the high principles of the papacy," unquote.
The papacy, that means the Vatican. And paps means like a lady's breasts. That's why I guess they think they're ladies over there, those popes and these priests. Ladies that like little altar boys. Okay, then what?
You can find that quote in the Vatican Moscow Washington Alliance by Avro Manhattan, Ozark Books, quoted in Sidney Hunter, Is Alberto For Real, Chick Publications, pages 42 and 43. What an amazing
statement. See, Alberto and I were very good friends. He came and visited me while I was in prison for the gospel, and he and his wife came and visited me there. They didn't even have they didn't have any form that was filled up for me to sign to have them come there. How they got in there, I don't know, unless they were double agents or something. But he was the right hand man of the Pope, and he knew all their secrets. And he was converted and started telling on the things that were going on in the Vatican, and you can get his books. They made him into like sort of like comic books, because Jack Chick and Alberto knew that most people were raised on Porky the Pig and Bugs the Bunny, and so that they would more readily read something that was in comic book form. Jack Chick was a former comic book illustrator, and he's a Baptist. And so these books, though, are just got all kinds of documentation and everything. And but some of the books that Jack Chick sells, Jack Chick and I have, you know, been out to, I've met him, and we've been out to lunch a few times. And Alberto stayed at my house on many occasions, and I even whipped up some food for him. I'm somewhat of a cook myself. Entertained them and let them sit at my dining room table. And we had a lot of good times together talking, and him telling me all the different things that he asked if I had been in the Vatican myself. And I said, no. He said, well, how do you know what you know? I said, because I know the Lord. And the Lord tells me these things. But he filled me in with documentation, the things that I didn't know, and the Lord just put both of us together so that I could learn a lot of the things. And I checked some of them out, and there is another man in the Vatican that does inform me of things that are going on, the goings on in the great, what the Lord calls the great whorehouse. Okay, then what?
What an amazing statement. Von Papen says that the atrocities that Hitler perpetrated during the Second World War were the, quote, principles, unquote, of the papacy. Can there be any doubt that the papacy is just as evil as was Hitler and his regime?
Well, they're the ones that financed him. Just as evil. He is, the Vatican is more evil because they're doing evil things like that all over the world. They're the ones that tell these puppet presidents of ours to bomb the buildings or turn their heads the other way and bomb countries and come up with these cock and bull stories that there's weapons of mass destruction over there and all this kind of garbage that people are so gullible to believe. Okay, then what?
Quote, Hitler himself admits that he was helped by the methods of the Jesuit Counter-Reformation to carry on his ideological war. We have witnessed Catholicism's open support of every step taken by Nazi fascism to impose authoritarian regimes upon all peoples, unquote.
And we know that it's true because we traced back, the Vatican is the one that's putting out this garbage that there was no Holocaust, that no Jews died, there was no ovens. There's hundreds and thousands of pictures of this and testimonies about it, and they're the same ones that are putting out this hog slop on us and on Jim Jones and on now Jones, I don't know that much about him, but I know for sure because I know that you can't talk a thousand people into committing suicide. There's no possible way. Even Jesus could not talk people into committing suicide. He never would, because committing suicide is a sin. And how could any preacher preach to that we have to drink poison Kool-Aid if he was a gospel preacher? And how would people believe that he's a gospel preacher if he was telling them to commit suicide? Use your head. And the things that they did to David Koresh over there. These are animals, these people that call themselves American soldiers and the American way, American people in the White House. These are all Catholic Jesuits, high-ranking Catholics in the White House and in countries that are ruling countries that they've placed in there as presidents and rulers over different countries that they bombed and killed hundreds of millions of people. But they say, well, it's going to bring about peace, and I've heard them say, so it's worth it to kill hundreds of millions of people if billions can be saved. Isn't that, you know, it's the sickest way of thinking, especially when they say there's a shortage of land. I mean, you people that are too poor to fly, you should get up in an airplane sometime and see the hundreds of thousands of miles, square miles, on this earth that there's not even one human being living on. there's just like one fraction of a percent of people land being used, and there's so much water that it's unbelievable. You can even plug holes in the ground in the desert and water comes sprouting out of it. Do you think that God has shortchanged us? Well, there's smog and all. They're creating the smog. Satan just wants to kill everybody and make you think that you're nothing but a bunch of animals and you deserve to be killed anyway. No, they're the animals. You are creations of God, but they have renounced God and have become worse than animals, because animals won't do the things that these wicked, satanic beings are doing to you on this earth. All right? Now, you think I'm nasty for telling you where the devil is and who he is? If you think that, well, then you're as nutty as they are. Okay, then what?
That last quote was taken from Behind the Dictators by Leo H. Lehman, Angora Publishing, page 36, 38, and 39. An accurate account of history places the Catholic Jesuit menace at the very heart of the Hitler regime. It was Catholic von Papen and the Catholic Zentrum Party that got Hitler into power in 1933.
Well, they got him into power because he was a Catholic. He was studying to be a Catholic priest. All right? And I have pictures of him singing in the Catholic choir when he was a little boy with his little altar gown on. Okay, then what?
And to show his gratitude, Hitler's Third Reich was a model of papal principles at their worst. Hitler was merely a pawn in the hands of the Jesuits of the papacy. Who supported Hitler in war-ravaged Germany? Remember, Germany had been reduced to rags by World War I and the heinous Treaty of Versailles. Quote, immense sums belonging to our national bank depositors have been given to Germany on no collateral security whatsoever. Billions upon billions of our money has been pumped into Germany by the Federal Reserve Board and the Federal Reserve Banks.
They're all run by the Vatican. Okay, you think not? Well, the Bible says they control the money bags and the armies of the world. And they also are the IRS. They collect the money, and then they give it to whoever they will that will go along with the slaughter that the Vatican has planned for Jews, gypsies, blacks, and other people. And what?
On April
the Iranians, the Iraqis, rather, Japan, Germany, United States, they just don't care. Satan doesn't care who he kills. He just wants to kill everybody. He doesn't want to feed people. That's why he pays people not to grow food. He doesn't want to suit them up. That's why there's so much waste. There's people that are starving to death that could really use that food that they waste. Okay, then what?
On April 27, 1932, the Federal Reserve outfit sent $750,000 belonging to American bank depositors in gold to Germany. A week later, another $300,000 in gold was shipped to Germany in the same way. About the middle of May, $12 million in gold was shipped to Germany by the Federal Reserve Banks. Almost every week there is a shipment of gold to Germany, unquote. That was taken from the Federal Reserve Bank by H. S. Keenan, the Noontide Press, 1966, page 158.
Okay, with that in mind, if you don't read, if you don't believe it, read it for yourself. And right now we're going to go into how to have God's life living in you. And we're going to start reading some of the things I was telling you about at the beginning of the program from chapter 16, we'll start out at verse 24. Chapter 16, verse 24. And I have the people in this place here, this broadcast studio, haven't even found the place yet. They're still finding it. So give the people a chance in Radio Land to be able to find chapter 16 in Matthew, verse 24. Okay, do you have it, everybody? So I assume you people out in the Radio Land have it. All right, now let's go ahead and read, please.
Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me...
That means any man. If any man's going to come after me and follow my instructions, then here's the first two instructions. Okay, go ahead and read it.
Let him deny himself.
Okay, that's instruction number one. Okay, you have to deny yourself. That means you have to give up your old life the kind of life you like to live, the life of luxury, the relaxing, sitting around, doing nothing, or bowling, or, you know, playing tennis, or ping pong, or whatever you do, or play games. Let him first deny yourself. He's going to follow after me. Because Jesus said, I never played ping pong. I never played football, basketball, baseball, or volleyball, or any of these things. I didn't do that. My job was to reconcile humanity to me that they might be saved. I never was watched TV because there weren't any TV sets around. I didn't listen to funk music or rappers because they weren't around me. There was none of this stuff that's going on in the past 50 years on this earth around back then. And if there was, I wouldn't be having any part of it at all. Okay, then what?
And take up his cross.
Okay, this is number two. First, number one is if you're going to be a disciple of mine, then first thing that you got to do is deny yourself and then take up your cross. Then what?
And follow me.
And follow what I do. Now, if I'm not playing basketball, baseball, football, kickball, or whatever kind of ball you play, then I don't want you to do it either. I just want you to follow me. That's denying yourself. And that's taking up the cross. In other words, it hurts for Jesus to have hung on the cross, and it's going to hurt you. And if you don't allow yourself to be hurt, well, then you're not a disciple of the Lord. You're not following him. Okay? That's the most cruel thing to do is to... Now, what kind of a God would it be that would tell you to deny yourself and to take up this horrible cross that's going to hurt you, that's going to cause you to be pained? I want to do all these things, but you're nailed to the cross. And you can't go down and play volleyball, baseball, basketball. You cannot turn on the television and watch pornography. You can't. You can't go to the whorehouse. You can't go to the drug dealer anymore. You have to deny that old life. That's what it means. Deny yourself. And to win souls, we all see that Jesus went through all this pain, and now he wants us to deny ourselves. Let ourselves be crucified, and that we hurt, that we turn away from the things of this world, the things of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And to walk with that cross, hurting us, depriving ourselves of what self, we, I, me wants to do. And if you're going to, and then follow Jesus. Now that's the first two requirements of being saved. But there's so many pleasures in this world, Lord. And what if you're wrong? What if you really don't exist? And then we've just flushed our entire lives down the toilet to keep these first two commandments. What kind of a God are you that would tell your people not to pamper themselves? That you're telling us to deny ourselves all the pleasures of this world. Well, no, because the Lord says that he has more pleasures for you than you ever could ever have in this world. And the pleasures that people say that there are in this world are not really pleasures. People like to booze it up. That isn't, it racks you, wipes out your liver. People like to take drugs and that, they overdose. And they wind up to their getting the shakes and all kinds of evil things. It breaks up families, keeps you broke. People gambling. That these are not things that are good for them. Those are not pleasurable things. Is it pleasurable to lose your shirt on the dice table, or playing cards? Is that fun, or is that bad? Why don't you save your money and support your family? This is what the Lord wants you to do with your money. And to get the gospel out, to say, win people's lives. This is more pleasurable. And, you know, it takes a little bit of getting used to, But once you get used to it, it's like a labor of love. I mean, you just love it. You wouldn't go back into that filthy life of sin any longer. And your friends will kind of say you're crazy and call you all kinds of a maniac and all that. But still in all, it's a commandment of the Lord. And it is a cross. And you have to expect these things. And people are going to call you a cult. And they're going to throw you in prison with made-up lies like they do me. And then they're going to say that you're a pervert and that you're a child abuser and you're a child this and you're all these different crazy things that they say about you. And that's a cross. Because, you know, before you're in the world, you wouldn't take that. You might send a couple of, you might go over and, you know, punch them in the nose. Okay? Or maybe rub their ears together. You know, you might want to do that, but you have to let the cross crucify you and not let it happen and just follow Jesus, because Jesus never rubbed anybody's ears together. But Jesus did allow people to go to hell and to the lake of fire, but he lets you just live out your life in hopes that perhaps one day the day star will arise in your heart and you'll receive the truth, and then he can just say, well, I forgive you. And so that's what we have to do. We have to just turn the other cheek, so to speak, and just continue out preaching the gospel. Like there's always a mob of people that are saying all kinds of manner of evil things about you, but we just don't let it get to you because the Lord said not to. We expose them. We tell them that they're saying these things. And they said, who am I? They said these evil things about Jesus. And so he says, take up your cross too. And let them say those things about you too. He said, I was nailed to the cross on a pack of lies. So when I had to go to prison on a 6-year sentence, and I got off for 2 years because of good behavior, I thought, you know, I'm nothing compared to Jesus. I'm just one member of his body. And so if he went through it, I have to deny myself and not get bitter over something like that. And I just have to take up the cross and just let the cross hurt me. Because it hurt him. It hurt because he was in the human flesh. But this is Christmas. This is the resurrection day. Amen?
Amen.
This right here is what they call Easter. This is resurrection day. But see, if we suffer with Christ, we'll also live eternally in the kingdom of heaven with Christ. We also resurrect. And he showed us that if we follow him, we follow him with the cross, and let us be faithful to him until the end. And if they kill us in between, so what? We're going to resurrect from the dead just as he did. And we're going to ascend up into the kingdom of heaven just as he did. And we're going to live in the kingdom of heaven in pleasure and the most fantastic bliss that ever happened on the face of this earth. Amen?
Yeah.
Now, this is my Easter message. Amen, and I think it's a good one because it's a true one. It's not just saying Jesus did all this and we don't have to do anything like most of the preachers preach. We have to take up the cross. We have to deny ourselves and take up the cross and be crucified with him that souls can see the life and the death of Christ in us. Everything that we do takes place at the cross. We kneel down, we come to the cross, and we kneel there, and we become crucified there. We have to be crucified there. We have to die at the cross. And then our spirits that were dead in sins and trespasses are raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit when he enters into our spirit. And we become born again of the Spirit, and we are resurrected from the dead. This is my Easter message, and this Easter message, the Lord wants the same thing to happen to you. He wants you to resurrect today like he did. He wants you to resurrect from the dead. And my time is up right now. You can resurrect from the dead as he did by just saying, starting out by saying this prayer. Come to him and saying, Lord, I'll deny myself. I know I'm a sinner and I'm not. You never sinned at all in your entire life. And I'm a sinner and I could die tonight. And if I died tonight and you weren't in me, I would not go to heaven. I would be right in the lake of fire. But thank God you sent somebody in this world, many, many people, to tell the truth about how to have God's life living in me. Because if your life is not living in me, then there's no possible way that I can enter the kingdom of God. And so I want to start out now, Lord, by asking you to enter into my spirit inside my mortal body. And I want you to say this prayer, those of you that are out there in Radio Land. And I'm going to pray with you, and you pray also. Just say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe, Lord, that God Almighty, that you raised yourself up by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus, with your Father, by the Spirit. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul because I have confessed that I'm a sinner and I am calling upon you. And you said that everyone that calls on you will be saved. It's your word. Your word cannot be broken. I know you've heard me and I know you've answered me and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. My soul is the only possession that I have, and it's not going to be in heaven unless you enter my spirit with your spirit. And now that you've done this, I am able to communicate with you, and you can communicate to me. You're a real God, a very live God, a very organic God, and I have an organic experience with you of life and life eternal. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up in praise and thank the Lord. Give glory unto him this Easter day. If this message doesn't reach you until after Easter, it still applies no matter what day it is that you're hearing it. Just ask the Lord to enter in and tell your family, friends, and even your enemies. Reproduce this tape and send it to them because they can get saved too. And your enemies will no longer be your enemies, but they'll be your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Okay, I told you at the beginning of the program, they're going to give you four different ways to get a copy of this message. This is program 164. Please specify whether you want a tape or a CD copy of it. And here's how. Sharon will tell you.
You can go to alamoministries.com or write Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax area code 479-782-7406.
Well, make sure you tune in tomorrow because it'll be part 63 of How to Have God's Life Living You. Until tomorrow, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. I love you, brothers and sisters out there. I thank you. And write a note to me and let me know if you said the prayer. And like these letters that we get in here, we love to read them on the air. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.